The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. In Parashas Shmos, near the beginning, Aleph Posuk Vov, Vayomos Yosef v'chol Echov v'chol Hadorahu, Yosef and all of his brothers and all of the generation died. Uvnei Yisrael poru v'yishvatsu v'yirbu v'yatzmu b'me'od me'od. And the children of Israel multiplied, became many, became mighty exceedingly. And the land filled up with them. Rashi brings from the sages, from the Chazal, they multiplied so rapidly that they gave birth to six at a time. This rapid growth was not Bimikro, was not purely coincidental, but it was something which was necessary. We see that when they came down to Egypt, they numbered only 70 people, and in 210 years they grew to a nation of 600,000 males between the ages of 20 and 60. Now this 600,000, as we have mentioned many times, is actually a much greater figure, because this does not count those who were over 60 years old. This does not count the wives, and this also does not take into consideration the children. The children, as we see here, were of tremendous numbers. So in actuality, we are speaking of a nation of millions. And the reason for this rapid growth, the Maral teaches us in the Sefer Gvuras Hashem, is because there is, just like there is growth and there is maturity in an individual, there is growth and maturity in a nation also. And the nation was to reach a certain number before it was considered complete, full. And that number was 600,000. Like we find that when they went out of Egypt, they were 600,000. When they were counted in the desert, again they were 600,000. Several times in the Torah, when they were counted, they were this number. And this was the number they were to reach. And therefore, in order to reach this completion, which would enable them to go out of Egypt, they had to multiply and grow with a tremendous force until finally they reached this number. This phenomena to grow, lifreis el rabbis, that a person multiplies and he grows, this is a mitzvah which is a cornerstone to the world and which is emphasized and re-emphasized many times in this parsha of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the Exodus, as we will see. Now, even though this mitzvah, this concept, is relevant to all nations of the world, there's a posuk in Yeshayahu, Mem Hei, posuk Yud Ches, Ki Cho Amar Hashem, Beirei Hashemayim Hu Elokim. This is what Hashem has said, who has created the heavens, Yetzirah Oretz, he has created the land, the Esahu Kenanah, and he has created everything which is necessary for the world. Leisaihu Veroah, and he did not create the world in order that it should be desolate. Leshemesh Yetzorah, but he created it in order that it should be populated. Ani Hashem Ve'ein Od. The Almighty who created the heavens and the earth, and he created all of the needs of the world. And he said, Yikova Hamayim V'seirah L'mokem Echot V'seirah Yaboshu. Let all of the waters move over to one place in order that there shall be dry land. He did this for one reason and one reason alone. The Shevish Yitzhara, for the use of people, in order that the world should be populated. Leisehu Verah, he did not create the world that the world should be desolate, that the world should be empty. The Shevish Yitzhara, he did this for one reason, in order that man should populate the land. This pasuk, the Gemara brings in many places, which refers to all of the nations of the world. However, specifically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, was very interested that Klal Yisrael, our nation, should constantly grow and populate the land. And he has given them the mitzvah of Puru Urvu, that you should be fruitful and multiply. And why is this so specifically important to our nation? There are two reasons. One is because we are the seed of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this was the seed which came to Har Sinai, to Mount Sinai, to receive the Torah, and to teach the Torah to the world. And through this, the will of the Almighty and His name is spread throughout the world. So therefore, every Ben Yisrael, every Jew, has a task. He is a soldier in this task. And therefore, with the birth of every additional Jew, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has another minister, another soldier, another ambassador in this world. And secondly, our sages tell us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, he blew into his nostrils a living soul which was part of the Almighty Himself. And the soul that He gave to Israel is a great part of Himself. And this is Shekhinah. This is His presence in this world. His presence comes into this world through the souls which come into this world, which means that through the birth of every individual there is more presence of the Almighty in this world. So therefore, in order to bring Shekhinah into this world, this can be done only through the populating of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, this mitzvah is a cornerstone to the world and a cornerstone to Klal Yisrael. Now let's continue in this vein. In Pasuk Yud, Pare said, Hova nishak melei, pen yirbe vahoyo ki sikrenu milchoma v'neisaf gam hu atzeinenu v'nilcham bonu v'olo min ha'oretz. Pare called his advisors together and he said, let us make a strategy against Klal Yisrael, lest they will come and they will become so mighty and so great that they, in case there's war, they will side with our enemies. What does it mean, a strategy? So Rashi brings, Mishakim l'meishion shel Yisrael. Let us make a strategy against the one that will be born, who will be Meshian Shi Yisrael, the one who will lead them out of Egypt. What does this mean? So the Chazal say, and Rashi brings it later on in Pasuk Chof Beis,
Pesuk Chof Beis, Vayitzav Parei Lechol Amoy Leymor, Kol Habein Hayelor Hayoret Hashlihu, Vechol Abbas Tichayu. Parei made a decree. Every son which is born shall be thrown into the river. The daughter may live. This decree he made, Vayitzav Parei Lechol Amoy, this decree he made even against his own nation. Pare commanded to his own nation, every son that is born, throw him into the river. Why? So Rashi brings, Yem Shemelin Mesha Omrulei Atzknimais Mev Hayem Melin Meshion. On the day that Mesha was born, the Atztagninov, the astrologers of Parai, told him that today the Messian shall Yisrael, today the one who's going to save Klal Yisrael will be born. The Ein Onu Yodin Im Mitzrayim Im Yisrael. And we do not know if he will be born from Egypt or if he will be born from the Jews. So therefore, Parai decreed that every boy that's born should be thrown into the river. The reason why they didn't know is because Moshe was brought up by the daughter of Parai, and he grew up as an Egyptian. So they had a difficult time in their astrology determining who this man was. But they did know that he would be born on this day. So therefore Parai said, Hovon ischak maloi, let us come and have a meeting in to define a strategy of what we can do to stop this. And they thought of a whole plan. Now here we see that when it comes to birth, this quantity and this quality. Before we were speaking, where they multiplied so rapidly that they grew into enormous numbers. So this was the masters, which are exceedingly important, like we spoke about. But here we're speaking of an individual. An individual is being born, and who was this individual? Mashiach Yisrael. He was the one who was going to destroy Parai, to destroy Egypt, to lead 600,000 men, millions of people, out of Egypt, to lead them into the desert, to receive Torah, to bring Torah into the world, and to keep this nation alive for 40 years in the desert. This was one individual. So from here we see an emphasis that birth brings forth great numbers to the nation, but at the same time it can bring forth great individuals like Moshe Rabbeinu and other Mashim Shel Yisrael, other great leaders of the nation. In Pasuk Tesvov, it states, Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim Lam Yaldeis HaYivriyos. And therefore the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, Asher Shem O'acha Shifro V'Shem Hashen Is Pua. The name of one was Shifro and the name of the other was Pua. Vayomer Bialetchem Es HaYivriyos Urisen Alav Noim Im Bein Hu V'Amiten Esem Im Basi V'Choyo. When you help the Hebrew mothers give birth, if it's a son, then you must kill it. If it's a daughter, you can leave it live. Who were these midwives? Rashi brings from the Chazal, Shifra zu Yecheved. Shifra zu Yecheved. Yecheved was the mother-to-be of Moshe Rabbeinu. She was called Shifra al shem shemashperes es avlad, because she would, when the baby was born, she would immediately take care of it and do what's necessary to a newborn baby. Pua, zu Miriam. Pua was Miriam, her daughter, the older sister of Moshe. Hashem shepoa umedaberes vehegel avlad. Kiderech anoshim amfaisis tinek abecho. She was called Pua because she would speak nicely to the baby and coo with the baby, like a mother does to a baby that's crying. And here we notice another point. These two women were very, very important women. The sages tell us Amram Godel Hador Hoyo. Amram was the leader of the generation. This was the husband of Yocheved. So Yocheved was the wife of from the greatest individual of the generation. Miriam, in her own right, was a very great woman. She was a prophetess, the sages tell us. And through Moshe and Aaron and Miriam, they redeemed Israel from Egypt. So here we have two of the greatest women of the generation, and they were the midwives. So we see an enormous significance placed on the role of helping to give birth. Vatirena hamialdeis es elokim v'lo osu kasher dibar alein melech Mitzrayim. Now the orders of Pare was abort the birth, abortion. The Torah tells us now they feared, the midwives feared God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt told them to. Now the king of Egypt, Pare, was the most mightiest tyrant in the world at that time. He ruled a tremendous empire. The empire that Yosef had left him had managed to collect the wealth of the entire world. And you don't play games with a king like that. But Chayanu Asiyalodim, and they did not abort the children. They let them live. They refused to do so. So here we see that when it came to birth in Klal Yisrael, nothing could stop them. Not even the threat of death by the great king of Egypt could not stop the Hebrew women from having children. Vayikra melech Mitzrayim lam yaldes. And the king of Egypt called in the midwives. And he said, Madua sisena dovar hazeh, patchayenu es yelodim. Why are you doing this? Why aren't you heeding my orders? Vatemano ham yaldes el pare. And they said to Pare, Kilecha noshim amitzriyais ha-ivriyais. The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. Ki choyes heino. They are like choyes. B'terem tove aleihen amyaledes v'yalodu. Before the midwives come to them, they've already given birth. Choyes has two interpretations. Choyes either means they themselves are like a midwife, and that the sages ask, so what if they're like a midwife? But even a midwife needs the assistance of another midwife to give birth. Chayos also means chayos. They are like the wild game of the field. The sages explain that a farm animal, a domesticated animal, cannot give birth alone. He needs the help of the farmer or the shepherd. But the wild game, the deer, the antelope, and so forth, they give birth alone. They do not need any midwives. And this is what they answered Pare. They're not like the Egyptian women, but they're different. They're like the chayos of the Soda. They give birth quickly, easily, and without need of assistance. And therefore, before we come to them, the child is already born. And why is this? Maral explains. Giving birth is a process of giving life. And therefore it comes from very high levels of the human being. And it comes from the nefesh, from the force of life that's in the person. The physical elements of man, which comes from the earth, can be contrary to this force. When you take a domesticated animal, you see he's heavy and slow. This is a sign that the physical element, the chomer, plays the major role in him. And therefore the processes of giving birth by them are very slow and heavy and difficult. When it comes to the chayas hasoda, the wild game, we see they're very light-footed, they're quick. And that's a sign that the physical elements play a minor role in them. The forces of life are greater. The nefesh is greater than the chomer. And therefore they give birth very speedily. The Egyptians were a very physical nation. And they were engrossed in all types of physical pursuits and physical desires. And they were symbolized kechamor, like the donkey, who's a very physical animal. And therefore they would give birth only with great difficulty. But the Ivriyos, the Hebrew women, who had such a strong nefesh, force of life in them, gave birth very quickly and without assistance. And therefore they were symbolized like the chayos hasoda, like the wild game of the field. And Rashi brings it, we see from Yaakov, from Jacob, he gave names of the wildlife to the Shvatim, to the tribes. Then the Torah continues, Vayetev Elokim Lam Yaldes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very happy with what the midwives were doing. And he did good for them. And the nation grew and became mighty. And because they feared Hashem, he made for them houses. From here we learn firstly that the Almighty liked this. He likes when Klal Yisrael will grow and more children will come into the world. And especially if the women are even willing to give their lives for it. Secondly, we learn by Yirev Ha'om, by Atzmu Mi'od, it was because of this that the nation grew. Because of this, the nation grew and became mighty and strong. And thirdly, he gave them a reward. The reward was batim. He built for them homes. What does this mean? Rashi brings from the Gemara and Seita, the Gemara and Seita and Yud Aleph, Bote kohuna, bote leviya miyacheved. From Yacheved came houses of kohuna, of priesthood, and leviya, the levim, umalchus mimiriam, and houses of royalty from Miriam. Gemara explains that from Yocheved was born Aaron. Aaron was the father of Kohuna, priesthood, and the Levim. And from Miriam, the Gemara says, David HaMelech was a descendant, King David. And why? The Banal explains, because they built the house of Klal Yisrael. It was these acts which built the house of Hashem. And therefore he rewarded them accordingly. He gave them homes that would last forever. Bote kohuna, houses of priesthood and levim, and houses of malchus of royalty. Then the Torah continues. Vayelech ish mibeis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi. A man came from the house of Levi, and he took a daughter of Levi. Who was this? This was Amram and Yocheved, the father and the mother of Moshe. Rashi explains from the Chazal, Porush hoyu mimenu mibnei gzeres pare. Yocheved and Amram did not just get married. It seems that here they got married, he went and he took her. They were married many, many years. Fact is, the Gemara tells us that at this time, Yocheved was 130 years old. But what happened? When Pare came out with his decree, his gzeira, Amram decided that he separated himself from his wife. See, he went away. He said, why should I have children only so they should be put to death by Pare? Miriam, his daughter, Aaron and Miriam were already born. Miriam, his daughter, who was very young at that time, she was 5 years old at that time, she came to him and she said, Gzeiros kakosh mishel Pare. You're worse than Pare. Your decree is more harsh than Pare. In Pare goes out as horim, ato gam kein ala nakevus. Pare only decreed against the male children, but your decree is even against the female children. And she convinced him to go back. So this is what is meant, Vayelech ish mibeis Levi, Vayikach es bas Levi. That the son of Levi went and he took the daughter of Levi. And this was Amram and Yocheved. And, as mentioned, she was 130 years old at that time, because she was the original, with the original generation that came down to Egypt. When they came, she was born as they entered into Egypt. Yocheved was the daughter of Levi. And this was 130 years later. And Amram was no youngster himself. What do we see from this? Firstly, we see, had they abstained from having children, and had they not come back to each other, then Moshe would not have been born, because it was from this reunion that Moshe was born, and Moshe was Mashiach Yisrael, the one who was to lead out Klal Yisrael and to bring Torah to the world. Secondly, we see that even in their old age, they still remained involved in producing children. And if in their old age they would have abstained, Moshe would not have been born. Thirdly, we see they were willing to risk their lives for this, because the decree of Pare were still in force. And the woman became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son, and they saw how good he was, and they had to conceal him for 3 months because Pare's decree was in force. They couldn't conceal him anymore, and she made a basket, and she put him in the basket, and she put him into the shores of the river. Then the story we're all familiar with. The daughter of Pare came to bathe, and she found him, and she loved him, and she knew he was from the Hebrews, Miyaldei Ha'ivrim, and she took him. And it states, Vayigdal Hayeled, in Pasuk Yud, Vayigdal Hayeled Vativeyo Levas Pare, that the child grew up and was brought back to the daughter of Pare, Vayilo Levein, and he became a son to her. Vatikra Shmo Moshe, and she called him by the name of Moshe, Vatomer Kiminamay Mishisihu, because I drew him forth from the waters. Moshe means that he was drawn forth. Now here the sages tell us in the Medrash, go and see how great it is to do chesed, to do gemilas chesed. Go and see how great it is to take an orphan and to bring him into your house. Because Afal Gav, even though we find that Moshe had many names, when he was born, his parents gave him names. So even though we find that Moshe had other names, he is never referred to in the Torah by any of his other names except Moshe, the name which the daughter of Pare gave him. The daughter of Pare was not a Hebrew. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, when he, Vayikra al Moshe, when he called to Moshe to come and speak to him, never referred to Moshe by his real name, but only by the name which the daughter of Pare gave to him. So the Medrash says, you see what it means to bring a child into your house and to bring him up. Aid, and not only this, but we find later on that the daughter of Pare was Megayer. She converted, and she became part of Klal Yisrael, and she went out with them when they left Egypt. And we find that she was called Bitsho. This was her name. The name Bitsho means daughter of Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave her that name. He said, you took care of my son and gave him a name, I will take care of you and give you a name. And he took her as a daughter. So here we see the great, what it means to bring up a child. From these psukim, we get a very good basis of the extreme importance that the Torah places on Peru Revu, that one should multiply and have children. Now the Gemara continues in this. Gemara tells us in Masechet Seita, and if you Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Dorash Rav Avira, others are Geiris Rav Akiva. Mishar Noshim Tzidkoniye Shohoye Beis Ador, Migolu Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Through what schus, what merit did Yisrael have to be redeemed from Egypt? Through the merit of the righteous women of that generation. B'shor shehochis lish of maim, when they would go to draw water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mizamen lohem dogim k'tanim b'kadehem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they would go to the river, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make sure that as they drew water, they would draw also a lot of small fish in their jugs. B'shor v'as mechse maim u'mechse dogim, and they would draw water and fish, and then they would go heat up on their stoves, they would cook the fish and warm up the water, and they would take the two jugs out into the field where their husbands would have been crushed by the Avedis Perech, by the slave labor of Pare. Umarchitze Seison, and with the water they would bathe their husbands, Sachay Seison, and they would anoint their husbands with oil, Umachile Seison, they would feed them, Umashke Seison, they would give them to drink. V'niskokis lehem beinus osayim, and then they would unite themselves with their husbands. It was because of these acts that Klal Yisrael merited to inherit the tremendous spoils of Egypt when they left Egypt. What would happen? Kivan Shemis Abres, when they would become pregnant, Boz Levetehem, they would go to their houses. Kivan Shemagiyas Man Melidehem, when it came time to give birth, they could not give birth in their homes because the soldiers of Pare were looking for the babies. Holchis Vyoldis Besoda, they would go back out to the fields and they would give birth in the fields, Tachas HaTapuach, beneath the fruit trees. And that's what Shlema Melech, King Solomon, wrote, Tachas HaTapuach Erisicho, that I have awakened you beneath the fruit trees. This is referring to the embryo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shaleach Mishmei Morom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would send out angels to care for the newborn babies, and they would hide them in the fields and leave them there. The angels would care for them until they were older. B'kivon shemisgadlin, once they became older, boim adorim adorim levatehem, they would come in great flocks to their houses, as it states, Vatirbi Vatigdali Vatavoi bi Adi Adoim. Al Tikre Badi Adoim Elaba Edre Adorim. Ukishinigla Kodesh Bochala Yom. And when it came time to go out of Egypt, and the sea was split, and a Kodesh Bochu, the Almighty, appeared to them on the sea, Heimi Kiruhu Tchila. It was these children that recognized the Almighty first, because they were cared for by his angels. And they were the ones who said, Zekeli, they pointed and said, this is my God, and I shall beautify him. This is what the Gemara tells us. What do we see? Firstly, we see that it was through the schus of giving birth to children that Klal Yisrael merited freedom to go out of Egypt. As it states, B'schus Noshim Tzidkonies, through the merit of these righteous women. Because, as we mentioned in the beginning, this brought Israel to their completion. This perfected their numbers until it came the time when they were ready to leave. Secondly, we see that this mitzvah has a special relevance when it's precipitated by the women. Like the Gemara tells us, B'schus Noshim Tzidkonies, they were the ones who precipitated it. Actually, there's another Gemara, Masechet Nedarim. The Gemara says, the Gemara says in the Dorim, and Daf Chof Amud Beis, Leah, the wife of Yaakov, in Parshas Vayetze, in Parshas Lamed, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayova Yaakov min Hasoder Be'erev, Yaakov came from the field at night, Vateitze Leah Likrosay, and Leah went out to meet him. Vatomer, and she said, Elai Tovay, you shall come to me, Ki Socho Sichaticho B'Dudei B'ni, because I have paid for you through the plants of my son. This was the case where her son found a certain plant and Rachel wanted it. So Leah went out. Vayishma Lekim al Leah, And Hashem listened to Leah, Vatar, and she became pregnant. Vatela LeYaakov Ben Hamishi. And she gave birth to Yaakov, a fifth son. Vatema Leah Nosen Elokim Schori. And Leah said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me my reward. Vatikra Shma Yisochar. And Yisochar was born. Yisochar were great Balei Torah. They were great in Torah. Over 200 heads of Sanhedrias, heads of courts, came from Yisochar. They had great wisdom. So the Gemara brings Omer Reb Shmuel ben Nachmeni Omer Reb Yonason Kol Odom Sheishtei Tevasoi Havin Lebonim Sheafilu B'deiri Shel Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Hayu Kameisam. A woman, a wife of a man, who wants to unite herself with him and precipitates this, they will have children that will be even greater than the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because in the generation of Moshe, when they looked for judges, they found judges with all of the merits except Nevonim, with a deep understanding, that level of understanding they were not able to. And by Yisochar, the son of Leah, it states, Yodei Bino Li'itim, where he had that level of deep understanding. So again here the Gemara places this emphasis. The explanation is this, that there is a complete union by a man and his wife. This, the sages tell us, is something which is not physical, but this is something which is spiritual. Because physically man and women are totally different, and that there can be a perfection and a completion and a total oneness, this is a spiritual level. It is not a physical level. And the sages tell us a proof on this, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took letters from his name. He took the Yud from his name and placed it in the Ish, Aleph Yud Shin. And he took the He from his name and placed it in Isho, Aleph Shin He. If his letters are removed from the two names, then it becomes Esh for Esh, fire and fire. If his letters are in the two names, then it becomes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud K. This shows us, purely at a physical level, that Esh for Esh, two fires, which would consume each other. But if there is a spiritual perfection, then they become one. These two letters, the Yud and the He, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with. Ki bekob, with the Yud and the He, Tzur Elomim. He created the two worlds, this world and the next world. See, he gave those forces to man, but only together, not individually. With one letter alone, you cannot do it. Together, he gave these forces to man. But if they bring his name together in perfection, then they can create worlds. This world and the next world. This was the level of the Noshim Sitkonies of Mitzrayim, of the righteous women in Egypt. From what they did showed that they had a tremendous force and initiative and desire to unite themselves totally with their husbands. And they created worlds. There was Deir Ishul Meshe Rabbeinu, the generation of Meshe that went out and received the Torah. And that generation came to such a level that they had to go out. No one could enslave them. You can enslave someone at the physical level, but not at a higher level. The spirit cannot be enslaved. So this was the level of Leah, that her great desire for Yaakov, and from him, from them came Yisachar. It's interesting to note that the children that were born with this, with these letters, the Yud and the He, that become a parent with a perfect union. So the Chazal say, the Torah tells us, Boser Echad, one flesh goes into the children. So this was emblazoned on the souls of the children. That's why they were so close to Hashem in the generation of Egypt. They were the ones who saw Heim Hikiruhu Tchila. They recognized Hashem first and said, Zekeli Vambeyu, this is my God. I shall beautify him. And this is why they were so close to Torah. Yisachar, B'nei Yisachar, the children of Yisachar could understand Torah better than anyone else because they were so close to Torah. They were born with these letters in them. This is the reason why in Parshas Vayakhel, which we just recently read, in the building of the sanctuary, Moshe asked for various materials, so he asked for Nechoshes Kaper. And the women of Egypt, the women, the Hebrew women that came out of Egypt, came to him with their copper mirrors. And they said, here's copper. And Rashi tells us, B'nai Shish, V'af Eithan le'okfi, le'ikfu melehovi, le'nidvas ha'mishkon. And these they wanted to contribute to the building of the sanctuary. For your most Mesha behem, and Mesha didn't want to take them. Because they're made for the Yetzohara, they're made for vanity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, take them, because they are more endeared to me than all of the other contributions. Because it was through these mirrors that they were able, together with their husbands, bring up entire hosts of children in Egypt. When their husbands were fatigued and crushed with the slave labor, they would come and they would bring them food and drink, and they would feed them, and they would take out the mirrors, and they would look at the mirrors together with their husbands, and they would say, look, I am more beautiful than you. And they would entice their husbands, and through this they would have children. And then goes on to tell of the Gemara that we just quoted, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, take them. What were these mirrors used for? So in Vayakhel Posuk Ches Lamed Ches Ches, it states Vayase Sakir Nechoshes Veizkame Nechoshes, that Moshe made the fountain and the base of the fountain of copper b'maris, from these mirrors at Atzevis, which brought up hosts of children, armies of children. Why? Because it was the fountain. If a husband became enraged with his wife because he suspected her of adultery, it was through the fountain, by drinking from the waters, that she could be reunited with him and he was appeased. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, these mirrors have the power to bring people together. Then use them for the fountain, which also needs this power to bring man and wife together. And this is what they were used for. The Gemara in Masechta Seter tells us, Godel HaShalom, we see how great peace is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to erase his name in order to bring peace between man and his wife. Because when the adulterous wife, the suspected adulterous wife, drank from the waters, the Kohen would write down Hashem's name on a parchment and place it into the waters and erase it in the waters. Generally, we're not allowed to erase Hashem's name. It's an Aveira. It's a negative commandment. But here he permitted in order to bring peace between man and his wife. The Maral says, why? Not that he permitted that his name should be erased. Heaven forbid. But when a man and a wife quarrel, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is erased. Because he has placed his name, his yud, in man and his hey in woman. And when they quarrel and they separate, his name is erased. See, he didn't allow his name to be erased. He allowed his name to be on parchment to be erased in order to reinstate his name that he gave to human beings. So therefore, Godel HaShalom, that we see how great peace is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed his name to be erased on the parchment in order to bring man and wife together where his name will be reinstated. So from here we see an insight as to what it means, this force which is given to man and woman, and to transmit it to children. Now the Gemara in several places goes into detail into what are the requirements of this halacha. Let me just quote very briefly from a few places. In Masechta Yevamos, the Mishnah tells us, and Daf Samach Aleph Omad Beis, Le'yivatel Odom Yipir Verivyo, a person should not abstain from having children, Elim Kein Yesh Le'bonim, until he has children. Beishama Imrim Shnei Zochorim, Beishama says two males, Beisila Imrim Zochav V'Nekeva. Beisila says a male and a female. And the halacha, the law is like Beisila. Therefore, a man must constantly try to have children until he has had at least a male and a female. The reason for this the Mishnah gives, because Zocho Nekeva Barom, because this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, with male and female. The Gemara in Megillah, and the Chof Zayin Omar Aleph, the Gemara tells us, Ein mechrin sefer Torah, if a man owns a sefer Torah, he's never allowed to sell it. Sefer Torah is something that you must not sell. If you want to lend it, but you must not sell it. Even if you need money desperately, you must not sell a sefer Torah which you own. The Gemara brings two exceptions to this rule. Ela lilmei Torah. One exception is if you wants to go and study Torah and he needs funds and he has no other funds, then he's permitted to sell his Sefer Torah in order to go study Torah. Belisa Isha, and to get married. He wants to get married, he has to get married and he has no funds, then he's allowed to sell his Sefer Torah. Moses says, why? What are the reasons? Lilmeid Shahalimud Mevi Lidei Maiser. Because Godel HaTalmud Shemevi Lidei Maiser. The study of Torah is very great because it brings a person to the fulfillment of Torah. Therefore, the study of Torah is equal to a Sefer Torah, because through this it will bring them to the fulfillment of the Sefer Torah. What good is having the Sefer Torah if he doesn't fulfill it? So therefore, he's permitted to sell it, to go study Torah. And the Gemara asks, what's the reason why he's permitted to sell it to marry a woman? Because le'sa'ol bara l'shevish etzora, because of the great mitzvah of populating the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu did not create the world like we mentioned in the beginning. He did not create this beautiful world with the all needs provided to be empty and desolate. What good is the Sefer Torah if there are no people? Therefore, in order to marry and populate the world, he's allowed to sell the Sefer Torah. So from here we see that to marry, to have children, that's equal to the Sefer Torah. That's one principle we see from here. It's equivalent to a Sefer Torah, because you're never allowed to sell the Sefer Torah unless very rare exceptions, and one is to marry, to have children. So that's equivalent to a Sefer Torah. That's one principle. Second principle we see from here, that a person does not have a dispensation from this mitzvah because of a lack of funds, because of a lack of money. Because here the Gemara even allows him to sell the Sefer Torah to get funds. So we see that simply because of a lack of funds, or he doesn't have so much money, that's not a dispensation, that's not a justification for not fulfilling this mitzvah. Then the Gemara tells us in Yevamos and Samach Beis Amud Beis, Gemara says, Sanyer Bishuemer, Noso Odom Isha Bialdusai, if a man got married in his youth, and heaven forbid, in his old years he lost his wife, Isa Isha Bizik Nosai, he should marry again in his older years. Hayele Bonim Bialdusai, if he had children in his youth, Yele Bonim Bizik Nosai, he should continue to have children in his older years. Shenemar, and then the Gemara brings a pasuk from Keheles. In Keheles, the pasuk is Yud Aleph, Keheles Yud Aleph, pasuk Vav. States Babok, this is written by Shlema Melech, King Solomon. Babok Ezra Ezara Echo, in the morning you shall plant your seeds. Vilo Erev Al Tanach Yodecho, and in the evening, do not refrain. Do not hold back your hand. Boker, morning, this refers to one's youth. You should plant the seeds. Evening, this refers to one's old age. Do not hold back. Ki eint chiyudeya eze yichshar hazeh ozeh, because you will never know which son will do well. The one that you had in your youth, or the one that you'll have in your old age, v'im shneim ke'echo tovim, or if they'll both be good. Rashi brings, actually Rashi quotes the Gemara and he adds a little to it, that's here in Yevamos, Rashi and Keheles. Rashi says as follows, im lamare te tere b'yalduscho, lamare tere b'ziknusecho, if you study Torah in your youth, study in your old age. If you taught disciples in your youth, teach disciples in your old age. Don't say you've already taught disciples, teach students in your old age. If you married a woman and she gave you children in your youth, marry another woman who can give you children in your old age. If you did stoker, if you did charity in your youth, do charity in your old age also. Because you do not know which one will come out good. So Rashi says, Motzina Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva Shohei Lechov Dalet Elef Talmidim. He had 24,000 students in his younger years. Begivas Ve'ad Antiperis. They stretched out through the whole country. The Chulun Meisu. Mi Pesach Varatzeris. And a great tragedy, a great plague came and they all died. From Pesach to Shavuos. And this is the reason for the mourning on the Sfiras Eimon. And he was very old. He was broken and he was tired and he was old. And his life's work was gone. But he didn't give up. He went down to the south of Eretz Yisrael, Vishonolehem. And there he taught disciples again. And he raised up five great disciples that brought Torah back to Klal Yisrael. So we see that had he relied only on the work of his youth, it would not have lasted. Linyan Bonim. Then Rashi says we find the same thing with children. Motzinu be'atzen. Atzen, the Gemara says, Zubayas. In the story of Ruth, Ruth married Boaz. Boaz was an old man when Ruth married her. When Ruth married him. He was an old man. And from that union came Obed. And from Obed came Yishai. And from Yishai came David HaMelech. That's what came out of that union. The Chazal, the sages tell us that Absin, Shleishim Bonis, Shalachutzu, Shleishim Bonis, Hevi Levone, Vekulam Mesa Bechayov. Absin had 30 daughters and 30 sons. He had plenty of children. And they all died in his youth. They all died during his lifetime. The children of his youth all died during his lifetime. Ubizik Nosai, and in his old age, Holid es Oved. He gave birth to Oved. This was from Rus. Then Iskayim lay, and from here came out Malchus, came out the royalty of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Shlomo HaMelech said, Baboker Zra es Zarecho. In the morning you must plant le'erev al tanach yodecha. But in the evening you must not rest, because you never know what might happen. From here we learn, the Gemara says, the Rambam brings it in Perek Tesvov of Ishus Halacha Tezayin. Rambam says, "Afal pi shekayimot mitzvahs pir v'rivya." Even though a man has fulfilled the mitzvah of pir v'rivya, he has a son and a daughter. Arehu mitzuvah midivrei seifrim. Our sages have still commanded him, "Shelayevatul milifrei selarabes," that he should not abstain from multiplying, calls man sheyesh bakeach, as long as he has the strength to do so. Shekol hameisiv nefesh achas bi Yisrael. For whoever adds one more life to Yisrael, ki'ilu bono olam. It's as if he has built a world. This is what the Rambam adds. Shekol ha'meisiv nefesh achas b'Yisrael. Whoever adds one more life to Yisrael, ki'ilu bono olam. It's as if he has built an entire world. If a person has a son and a daughter, and now it's a question of him marrying again. And if he doesn't have money and he has a Sefer Torah and he needs funds to marry again, or let's say to marry a woman that can give him children again, in Eben Ezra and Shulchan Aruch and Siman Aleph is brought two opinions in this. If he's allowed to sell a Sefer Torah to add more children, or maybe only for his first son and daughter. Okay. This is a discussion. But there again we see, only because it's a question of selling a Sefer Torah. But for other reasons, he's not justified. Except, it's brought there, if a person is afraid that he'll marry another woman and he'll have children by her, and he feels that there will be, he sees there will be great machlekes, great strife between the children he's had by his, and from his first wife, and the children that he will have by his second wife, then it's brought a dispensation for the sake of peace. Since he's already fulfilled the mitzvah, he should then rather marry a woman who is already past the age of having children. But outside of this, we see also that there is no easy justification, no simple justification from abstaining from this great mitzvah. Just to mention very concisely a few of the exclamations that the Chazal mention in regards to this. Well, first of all, we know that Chava, the first woman, she was called Chava. Why? Because the Torah tells us, Shoha'isa'im kol chayo. She was the mother of all life. And this is why she was called Chava. And the sages refer to her as a binyan ade'ad, as a building that will remain forever. This means that a woman was given the potential of giving life to the world and life forever. And this is why the first woman was called Chava Eim Kol Chayo. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos and Samach Gimel Amad Beis, Omer Avasi, Ein Ben David Bo, the son of David, the son of David will not come with the Mashiach, Ad Sheyichlu Kol HaNesham Shebeguf, until all of the souls. Rashi explains that there's a certain Otzer, there's a certain HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a certain place where he stores all of the potential souls that are supposed to be brought into this world. And the Mashiach will not come until all of those souls have been brought into the world. Therefore the Gemara says someone who has children, he's bringing the Mashiach closer. If a person abstains, then he is furthering this. The Gemara says someone who abstains from this mitzvah of having children, who doesn't have children at all, we're speaking where he can, is ki'ilu shefech domin. This is in a degree equal to the spilling of blood, because in Parshas Noach it states shefech dam odem b'odem domi yishefech, where the Torah speaks that you shall not kill another man, and then immediately after Hashem told Noach v'atem p'ru u'revu, be fruitful and multiply. The Gemara says b'mayit b'dmus, the image which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to man, Tzelem Elokim, someone who abstains from this mitzvah, then he minimizes that image which comes into the world. And then the Gemara tells us, Geirim l'shchina shetistalek mi'Yisrael, those that do not have children cause the presence of Hashem to remove itself from Yisrael. Why? Because it states Lios lecho lelokim ulezarecho acharecho. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I shall be for you a God and to your children afterwards. Bizman shezarecho acharecho, when you have children that will follow you, then Shechina Sheira, then the Shechina, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be in the world. But if you have no children that will follow you, Al Mi Sheira, on who should I bring my presence? Al Eitzim, Al Eitzim Val Avonim, on wood and on stone. Like we said before, because the purpose which He created this world is in order that it should be populated, in order that He could bring His Shekhinah to them. These are some of the sources from this Sedra in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the Gemaras, regarding this very great mitzvah. Now we live in a world today which is in many ways very far from these concepts. We must understand that to be able to have children, the Gemara tells us, is a very great mazel. It's a great mazel, and it's a schus. And this is not given to everyone. And this is not necessarily dependent on the greatness of an individual, because we find very great people weren't able to have children. For example, the Gemara brings in Perek Aleph Psochim, at the end of Psochim, on Yeshua ben Nun, that Yeshua never had a son. And even though it was only Yeshua that was able to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael after Moshe died, and was the only one that was able to conquer Eretz Yisrael, it states Yeshua was never zeichet to have a son. And in every generation, we always found great people, many times leaders of the generation, do not have the schus or the mazel to have children. The Gemara says that in a case where a person cannot, he can fulfill this mitzvah in other ways. Gemara brings on Ben Azai. Ben Azai was so attached to Torah that he never married. The Gemara says for Ben Azai was no Aveira. Torah was his children. Mora brings Maisim Tovim Shalodim Elu Toldesot. The generations of a man can be his deeds. Or it brings Amagadl Yosef Bebeise Kila Yode. You bring up an orphan in your house, Kodesh Baruch Hu considers as if you gave birth to him. Or you teach Torah to someone, Kila Yode, it's as if you gave birth to him. But on the other hand, those who were given the capability and the schus to have children, then they are commanded by the Torah, in with everything that we learned this evening, to fulfill this mitzvah to their greatest capability. And they must realize this was not a schus that was given to every individual, and it's not a schus that's given at every time. Many people think, I have plenty of time later. Not so. It's not something, a capability given to every individual and at all times. Now this is a mitzvah that we have to be very cognizant of. The Rishonim bring, there's a Rishon Daran, Masechet Ksubos, where he's discussing about certain halachas and certain customs of scheduling a chuppah at the proper time, and he brings it, we must not look at that. He says, we must not delay a chuppah. Even if there'll be a little better time later on, we must not delay it, he says. Because she'onu am misei mispor. Because we are such a small nation, we cannot afford to delay marriages and delay chuppahs. But this is something which we must be very cognizant in our time. After the great Churban, which took place just so recently, it was estimated that in Europe, before the Second World War, that there were approximately 14 million Jews before the Second World War in Europe alone. Today, that might be world Jewish population, 14 million. which means that almost 50% of Jews, Jewish population today, was destroyed. It's estimated 1 million babies were destroyed. Now, even with the number that there was pre-war, it's a very small number compared to numbers of other nations. 80 million Germans, or 250 million Americans. Or when you go to nations like China or India, we're talking about 400 or 500 million, or that's already speaking in numbers of billions, projected numbers. So when we speak of 14 million or 3 million or 6 million compared to the numbers in the world, this is a very, very small number. There was once an article, a long article in a magazine in America about 25 years ago. The magazine then was called Look Magazine. It's not in publication anymore. And it was entitled The Vanishing Jew. They made a survey of American Jewry, and they projected, this article came out after the Second World War, they projected that in so many years the Jew would vanish from the scene of America. According to the assimilation rate and according to the birth rate, he is not reproducing. His death rate is higher, much higher than his birth rate and his assimilation rate. And the facts were right. They said if the trend didn't change, in some corners the trend changed, in other corners it didn't. It did. It did not change. And in many areas, in many corners, the Jew vanished. Eretz Yisrael specifically. Eretz Yisrael does not have a great number of Jews. If we talk about 3 million Jews, or 4 million Jews, or 2 million Jews, and the Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael during the past 40 years, which might be good, but it's still dealing in very, very small numbers when we're speaking of world numbers. And if you measure that off against the numbers in Yeridah, or death rate, or assimilation rate, Eretz Yisrael also has not experienced tremendous number growth during all of these years. And therefore, more important than ever in our times is this mitzvah of Peruvu, to grow and to multiply, like we see that took place in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, right before the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, when we come to Western culture values and the values, liberal, so-called liberal values, and that unfortunately the Jews who live in the Western culture absorb all of this, there's very little emphasis or value placed on human life at all. And most people feel that they're in this world to have a good time and to enjoy themselves and to entertain themselves and to make life easier for themselves in whichever way possible. And they don't really know from their right hand to their left hand the purpose of man in this world. There was once a story, an interesting story, that this I heard from the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, my Rebbe Rav Gifter, who heard it from his Rebbe, the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva in Europe, that he said on himself, Rav Avraham Yitzchok, that when he was a young boy and he was davening in the yeshiva, so he took off his tefillin before the davening was over, and the mashgiach of the yeshiva asked him later on, why do you take off your tefillin before davening is over? Why can't you wait till it's over? And he would say, because I don't have time. So he answered them, Das wendet sich, it depends what you consider time was given for. He says, I don't have time, so you answer them, it all depends what you consider time was given for. In the West, we don't have time. We don't have time for children. They're too much trouble. They're too much trouble when they're young, and they're too much trouble when they're adolescent, and they're too much trouble when they're older. And they cost money and effort and so forth and so on. We don't have time. But the answer is, it depends what you consider time was given for. In the West, what do we hear? We hear about abortion. We hear about birth control, about family planning, population control, and contraceptives. This is what we hear about. And unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael also. It's a wonder. From one hand, they speak of Aliyah, and they speak of the enormous cost and the enormous trouble that so many forces have to go to bring someone to Eretz Yisrael and to settle him into the culture. And on the other hand, abortion is rampant. Well, there is your natural aliyah, and that would cost nothing. But this is the West. This is the liberalism, and this is totally contrary to the Torah. There are times when a person is justified, but he can't have children, or children would be a danger. Hey, this is a different story, but we're not speaking of these times. Therefore, we must keep this in mind, especially in our times, that we are just a generation or two after the great Holocaust that took place. And just as by Klal Yisrael it states that because they grew, and they multiplied, and they came to such great numbers and great strength that this broke them loose from the shibud, from the enslavement of Egypt. And it was in the schus of the Noshim Tzidkoniyah, it's the schus of the righteous women, they precipitated this. They understood what life was given for. They understood what life meant. They understood what another soul in the world meant. To carry the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we should be zeicher to see this growth in Klal Yisrael, where we will also see a geul of Yeshua, a redemption of Klal Yisrael, b'mheira b'yomeinu, where we should be zeicher to meet the Mashiach to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.